Most mornings I spend some time perusing articles on the internet that come from various news sources, and I was somewhat amazed to read an article, a scientific article, that said that in 2019 there have been 70 new species identified, previously undiscovered and unknown. I was shocked. I wasn't aware that there were any level of fish or animals or flowers that were not already known. But according to this article, it says that 90% of the flora, fauna, and fish in the world are still yet to be identified and categorized. 90%, that sounds crazy. But then I think about God. Everything we know about God is that He loves variety and distinction. I mean, just think about, you know, when it's snowing outside and, you know, an inch of snow across the lawn and all the snowflakes that it takes to make an inch of snow across the lawn, and yet every snowflake has its own design. It's really kind of crazy. And fingerprints, no two are alike. How can we not be amazed by God's love of diversity and distinction? I remember once, and I think I commented on it, that I read that there were over 300,000 types of beetles. It's almost like, you know, our Father got carried away in creation with beetles. Let's make one with a long tail. Let's make one with six legs, and then another one with four. And let's give this one some snippers in the front. I mean, whatever it is, He just seems to love to create with diversity. 30,000 different species of orchids. All of this is evidence of the fact that God absolutely loves diversity. Do you know that Gordon Fee, the great New Testament scholar, said that 1 Corinthians chapter 12 is really not about spiritual gifts, but it's about diversity and how God loves to put diversity into the body of Christ, and that spiritual gifts are part of that diversity, that we all get our own unique gifts and gift mix. And not only that, we get unique manifestations. It says in 1 Corinthians 12 that we have different levels of empowerment and different ways in which the gifts manifest, as well as the different gifts that have all been given by God through the Spirit. That's amazing to me. And then that peering into the future that we see in the book of Revelation, where it says there that there will be people of every nation and of every tribe. How amazing that is. Every tongue. That this issue is a fundamental issue of the kingdom of God. Our Father loves difference and diversity, and He embraces it as part of the wonder of the creation that He's made. Now, why am I saying that? Because we are His children, we are His followers, we are the apprentices of Jesus, and we need to learn to appreciate and to love diversity, particularly diversity among one another. Yeah, we're different, but we are to love and cherish those differences and learn from those differences. You know, when I started Healing Care 17, 18 years ago, we developed 8 core values that the whole ministry would be built upon. And one of those core values is the core value of diversity. We want this ministry to be made up of people of different races and different ethnic groups, people that have come from different countries, people that speak different languages, people of different gender, people of different class, on and on it goes. We've worked hard to make that true. And so when we develop teams, we try to make sure there's diversity on these teams, because this diversity is part of what represents the kingdom of God. Now, you know, we live in an age where people are not so appreciative of the gift of diversity. As a matter of fact, it's almost as if we're huddling up into our own little group that looks like us and thinks like us and has our values, and that everyone else is suspect, but those that are exactly like us. And in an age of outrage, that leads to such serious problems, problems that have even led to violence and to death. A writer sociologist once said that it moves this way, that in life we learn to stereotype, and stereotyping is simply saying one thing is different from the next. One man is taller than the other man. One woman has different colored hair than the other woman. We have different eyes, colored eyes. And that stereotyping into the difference between is not a bad thing, but often stereotyping leads to prejudice. And prejudice is, I prefer, I'd rather hang out with, I'd rather choose. Prejudice leads to discrimination, where we treat one group more viciously than we would another group, and then it can lead to racism. And I know I've mentioned some of these things before, but I want to come back to this whole idea that God wants us to be very, very open to the wonder of this world and to begin to value the degree to which difference makes life very, very interesting. Now, years ago, there were some writers, their name were Dayton and Engstrom, that wrote a book, and it really had to do with cross-cultural understanding. And they developed something called an eth-class profile, ethnic group class profile. And this is what they said. This is what makes people different. On the ethnic side, they said that there are people of different races, different nation of origin, different language, different religion, even different ethnic group. And on the class side, there are people that have different levels of education, different occupations, different incomes. There are difference in the fact that some live in the rural areas and some in the suburban and some in the urban areas. And that all of this put together is part of what gives us what they call an eth-class profile. Now, why is that important to us? Because one of the things that these writers say is you only need two of these to be different before it becomes difficult for us to understand one another. Just any two of them. And all of a sudden, there's enough distinction that we better be careful about the assumptions we make about the other person, because we can't evaluate them based on our values and our understanding. And it's going to take some real deep levels of communication that are going to enable us to, if you will, span this difference of diversity. So there was a man that wrote named David Hesselgrave, and he wanted to talk about communication theory, and this is what he said. There's four stances of communication, and one stance of communication is called isolation, and isolation basically means I'm talking, but you don't understand me, and I don't understand you, because the way we choose our words and the values that are behind them are so foreign to us that we don't know what we're saying. And then they said the second communication stance is the communication stance of extraction, where you take somebody out of their environment and you teach them your language and your values, and then you can better get along with them and understand them. Of course, they have to break with their own culture to do that. And quite frankly, this is something that's happened in the past. When I taught at Alliance Theological Seminary, there were some students there that were from the Navajo Nation, and they shared that what often happened to them is that a missionary would come and they would talk to them about Jesus and encourage them to come to a seminary, but then they've got to come and they've got to learn the nuances of our language and our idioms and the envelopes that we send messages with. And they said pretty soon we go back to our culture and we're irrelevant because we're no longer integrated, so that this extraction has in some ways limited our ability to really reflect the gospel in our own context. Well, then there's this communication stance called identification. And the communication stance of identification means that we really want to get to know these other people. We want to know how they think and their foods and their preferences, but we often do that because we want to give them a message. We want to change them. We want to share with them. But we're not necessarily wanting to learn from them in ways that could change us. And that's where Hesselgrave says that the most powerful form of communication is actually the communication of reciprocity. And reciprocity means basically that I want to spend time with you and I want to learn about you and your values and your tastes. And I want you to learn about my values. And it may be that we can influence one another. This is really good. See, you know, when I grew up, they used to talk about the United States and say that the United States was a melting pot. And the idea of a melting pot is that you put all these other elements into this pot and you put it on fire, and pretty soon they all lose their distinction and we come out believing the same thing and looking the same way and sharing the same values, and we are assimilated into one group. But that has never happened. The United States isn't a melting pot. What the United States actually is a stewing pot. And what's true about stew? You put all kind of different things in it. By the way, I just was in Canada, had this really, really good Irish stew. So what do they do with stew? Well, they put in broth, and they're going to put in meat. They'll put in some potatoes and carrots and other vegetables, some onions, and they put it all in there, and they put a fire under it, and they heat it up, and they cook it. But guess what? When it comes out, the potato is still a potato. The onion is still an onion. The carrot is still a carrot. But it has been influenced and flavored by the other components of the stew. Do you understand what I'm saying here? That we need to appreciate the fact that God likes to, if you will, make stew. He likes people to get together and stew together in order that we can influence one another. And that we take the time to understand one another and to grow with one another. My gosh, folks, we're going to spend all eternity together. And I don't think we're going to be segregated into the Baptists are there and the Methodists here and the Pentecostals over here. And the people that are from different cultures are all in their own little enclave. No, we're going to all be together. Brothers and sisters in Christ, stewed up to really know and grow and understand one another. We live in a world where outrage happens almost on a daily basis. I read just yesterday in the news of one of our leaders that's standing before a group of people and using stereotypes and slurs that would be offensive toward them. He, totally unaware, it seems, of the degree to which he is showing a bias, a prejudice. We can't do this. Get to know people, different people. Spend time with them. I've mentioned this again earlier. I want to mention it as often as it comes to mind. God loves the diversity of people. And that we all make up this amazing family called Christians. And we want to reach out to others and bring them in and allow the flavor of their life to impact the way we do life. I think God's stew is really exciting and something that we need to say yes to. I hope you've taken some time to look at Patreon, look at the School of Formational Care, see if it's something that you might be interested in. There are other resources on our websites, and I'd love you to go there. I'd especially like it if someday you show up at one of our seminars. We'd love having you. Remember, my friend, God's nuts about you. His face shines on you today.